Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, July 12, 2016. IGAD ministers are calling on South Sudanese leaders to fix the mess in Juba.
They're recruiting fighters and are heavily arming themselves. There is lack of common understanding on the number of states and on the issue of cantonment sites. There is also lack of progress in the expansion of the Transitional Government Legislative Assembly.
And traders accuse the South Sudan Army of looting their shops in Jebel Market.
And if you take the distance of the place where the fighting is occurring, it's far from our shops. But the people who are deployed here destroyed everything. They looted, they shot the locks at the doors, they shot using guns.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan. Juba residents who fled their homes are returning from their hiding places after witnessing gunfire and explosions in the streets earlier this week. Residents of Juba town could soon face acute food shortages because many shops along the streets remain closed. In Custom Market, women are selling along roadside just outside the main market. As soldiers continue to patrol the town and tell traders and civilians to go about their normal activities. This is the first day the guns have been silent in Juba since last week, when violence broke out in the streets of the capital. President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar ordered their troops to stop fighting yesterday. Presidential spokesperson Ateny Wek Ateny told reporters in Juba this afternoon that the ceasefire is holding and the airport has reopened.
It is good news that it is holding because this morning there has not been any gunshot anywhere. You people can attest to that. Now it is time for you people to be going out to witness the cessation of hostilities that is holding. And it will be you people to tell the world that, peace is holding in South Sudan. The international airport has opened for commercial flights, and it is now easy for anyone traveling via and from, and to and from Juba to do so.
Traders in Juba are asking for immediate help from the government after their shops were looted by some errant members of the South Sudan Army during the violence. Prices have shot up in Juba town since many shops are still closed. Traders at Jebel Market, one of the busiest markets in Juba, were counting their losses after government soldiers looted the market during last weekend's clashes. Aziz Francis owns a shop worth goods he estimates to be worth £200,000. Francis says everything in his shop was stolen during the 3 days of fighting in Juba.
Whether you are South Sudanese or you are a foreigner, they don't segregate. And if you take the distance of the place where the fighting is occurring, is far from our shops. But the people who are deployed here destroyed everything. They looted, they shot the locks at the doors. They shot using guns. And as a result, they picked everything.
Francis Wales from South Sudan says his shop was the only source of income for him and his family. He says he does not know how to start again.
I have a wife with 3 kids, and now I don't know how will I help my kids, because the other one is now in primary one, and I need also to continue paying her school fees, and by now I have nothing. It is that business which helps me with my family and with my kids. So I'm appealing to the government, if there should be any help or assistance, they have to also do that for us, so that we also start our businesses.
It's unclear whether traders will resume doing businesses in Jebel Market. Owners of some shops, which were not looted, are busy relocating to other parts of the town. A trader who did not want his name to be mentioned for fear of a government retaliation says he has no other options but to shut down his business.
They come on cars and in uniform, you could not know exactly, in the market of Jebel. The market is completely empty, that's why I decided to bring my small items home. All the market is empty. The last 2 days, where the fighting was going on.
Prices of food commodities at the custom market have skyrocketed. A kilogram of meat now cost 160 South Sudanese pounds, which was selling for 120 pounds just a few days ago. And a sack of rice shot up from 1,800 to 3,000 pounds. Many shops remain closed because many traders are too afraid to open their shops, while others have fled the town. The IGAD Council of Ministers has issued a statement condemning the violence that erupted in Juba over the weekend. Addressing the 56th IGAD Council of Ministers meeting in Nairobi today, the Ethiopian Foreign Minister Tedros Adhanom, who is also the chairperson of the IGAD Council of Ministers, expressed his dismay over the deadly fighting in Juba.
At a time we had hoped to see more progress on these key issues, regrettably, our hopes dashed since we had to deal with renewed unrest and clash, which will further complicate the implementation of the peace process.
Adhanom says leaders of South Sudan are far from agreeing on the unresolved issues left over from the August peace deal. He says the prospects for peace in the country looks very bleak.
The parties are trading accusations at each other. They're recruiting fighters and are heavily arming themselves. There is lack of common understanding on the number of states and on the issue of cantonment sites. There is also lack of progress in the expansion of the Transitional Government Legislative Assembly and disagreement over the selection of the speaker, which in turn is delaying the establishment of the parliament.
The Ethiopian diplomat says the international community must rescue South Sudan before the country slides back into a full-scale civil war. He says the leaders of the country must start working together to address the challenges facing South Sudan.
The process of making a permanent constitution for South Sudan has not begun. The permanent ceasefire and transitional security arrangements is facing enormous challenges in verification work, including denial of access, intimidation and restriction of movement of the monitoring and verification teams in different parts of the country.
The chairperson of the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, Festus Mohai, briefed the IGAD Council of Ministers on the latest situation in South Sudan. The IGAD member countries issued a strong statement arguing President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar to immediately respect the ceasefire, reopen Juba International Airport, and place the port under the protection of UNMISS peacekeepers. The IGAD leaders also urge forces loyal to Machar and President Kiir to return to the barracks and open humanitarian corridors. The regional bloc called for urgent revision of the UNMISS mandate to establish an intervention brigade and increase number of troops from the region to secure Juba. In his address to IGAD ministers, the head of European Union delegation to Kenya, Stephane Dejac, said those who provoke the fighting in Juba should be held accountable for the suffering they have inflicted on civilians.
The European Union urges in particular all parties to respect the obligation to grant unhindered humanitarian access. It is important to ensure that those who provoke the fighting are held to account. The people of South Sudan deserve peace and security after so many years of conflict. It is the responsibility of their leaders to ensure this.
That's Stephane Dejac, the head of European Union delegation to Kenya, speaking at the 56th IGAD Council of Ministers extraordinary meeting in Nairobi today. We turn to Torit now, where markets have run out of food supplies and traders say it's not easy to transport goods because of the ongoing insecurity on the road leading to Imatong State. Residents scramble to buy the remaining food items on the market shelves. As Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Torit, only few shops are open today.
As markets in Torit opened this morning, residents were busy trying to buy some food for their families, while police and SPLA army units patrolled the streets following Monday's violence. Hundreds of women and children fled their homes when police beat back an attack by unidentified armed gunmen. George Dunda, who works for Hotel Torit, was among the dozens struggling to buy maize flour. He says the market is running out of basic food items and prices have skyrocketed. Dunda says a 25-kilogram sack of maize flour that used to cost 500 South Sudanese pounds last week now goes for 950 South Sudanese pounds.
The issue of food, It's causing a lot of problems. The shopkeepers are taking advantage of rising the prices every day. Even the whatever, the food is not in the market. That's why people are trying to get, they're suffering from hunger. So we beg the government to look upon this.
Jaili Ahmed sells food items in Torit Old Market. Ahmed says the food he has will not last until Wednesday.
The food we have is not enough, but we will give whatever is remaining in our store. We will give to people in affordable price, and I'm calling on my fellow traders not to take advantage of this situation to increase prices. What we have here can take 2 days or even is likely to get finished today, but sugar and wheat is still there, but only maize flour, which is essential, is getting finished.
Kivira Iskovia is the chairperson of the Torit business community. Iskovia says the government must do something to ensure that food commodities get to Torit. She says the situation over the next week does not look good.
And now the hardship now from yesterday, either from yesterday, because the food which we have got there, just only about 500 bucks. 500 bucks, you find the citizens are lining, others, they are not able to get it. And now, the major thing now is hunger. Completely in the market, we don't have anything. Even sorghum, even maize.
Torit Municipal Authorities say they are aware of the shortages in the markets, especially food commodities. Torit Mayor Eddie Williams says traders have complained again and again about insecurity on the main supply route linking Torit and Uganda. Williams says the state is organizing a force that would escort traders supplying goods to Imatong State.
For the issue where there is no food, yes. You know, the route supply which supplies Torit is Magui. When Magui was overrun by these gangs, they took one truck, 15 tons of flour, which was coming here, which belongs to Mubarak, the Ugandan. They have loaded the truck, they've taken that food. So the other four trucks went back to Uganda. Because weekly, if we receive 6 to 7 trucks every week into it, it will sustain the food which is here. But now, that food has gone back.
The mayor says food insecurity in Torit could worsen if armed groups continue to interrupt farming and the transportation of goods in the state. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, church leaders appeal to armed youth to end looting and robberies in and around Torit. That story when we come back.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
tell me about something beautiful that moved you recently.
A cousin of mine gave birth after a long period of trying to have a baby. It took them about 6 years to have their first baby.
The most beautiful thing that moves me recently is the roads and also the lights and also the happiness of my family.
Oh yeah, I have a lot, but what I can say is education. I've just pursued my degree and it's really doing me well because I've already got a job that can earn me and then improve my life.
Something that moved me recently is that I was given a responsibility to head a big project, first of its kind in my life. So it's something that was great.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today, we are talking about yellow fever. The World Health Organization is leading a mass yellow fever vaccination campaign in Central Africa to prevent the national and international spread of the deadly disease. The campaign, which begins this month, aims to vaccinate 15.5 million people in Angola and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
A yellow fever outbreak began late last year in the Angolan capital, Luanda, and spread quickly throughout the country. The disease also spread to neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo. The two-month vaccination campaign is being held in advance of the next rainy season in September, when mosquitoes come out and transmission goes up. Bruce Aylward is WHO Executive Director of Outbreaks and Health Emergencies. He says this outbreak is particularly dangerous because it is occurring in large cities. He says massive outbreaks of yellow fever can occur in urban settings because mosquitoes can rapidly infect thousands of people.
And with that explosive spread, number of cases, you can see very high mortality rates. These can be very dangerous, destabilizing events. But the other concern is when urban outbreaks take off in these areas, there's a risk then of international spread of this virus.
Aylward says two cases were reported in Kenya and 11 cases were brought to China by Chinese men who had been working in Angola. Yellow fever is endemic in 47 countries, 33 of them in Africa. Most of the rest are in South America. Yellow fever is an acute viral disease that, in the worst cases, can cause liver damage that begins to turn the skin yellow. The mosquito that transmits the virus is the Aedes aegypti, the same one that transmits the Zika virus. Since the mosquito also exists in Asia, Aylward warns the potential for creating an international crisis exists. Aylward, however, tells VOA the prognosis for containing the geographical spread is good.
This is not like Ebola or not like Zika, for which we don't have a vaccine, of course. This is a disease for which we have vaccine and for which there is a vaccination requirement under the international health regulations for yellow fever. So, again, a big part of our work with the countries at risk of the disease is to ensure that they have a vaccination of traveler policy.
Latest WHO figures show more than 3,500 suspected and over 860 confirmed cases of yellow fever in Angola, with 355 deaths. In DRC, there are over 1,300 suspected and 68 confirmed cases, with 75 deaths. The cost of the mass yellow fever campaign is expected to be $34 million. Aylward says the WHO will launch an appeal for $20 million in the coming days, with Angola and DRC covering the rest. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Church leaders in Torit condemned Monday's fighting, which left at least four people dead and dozens more wounded. The head of the Catholic Church in Torit is appealing to the government to talk to members of the armed groups in Imatong State. As Demo Silva Aurelio reports, it's calm in Torit today and residents who fled the area during the Monday's violence are returning home.
The Apostolic Administrator of Torit Catholic Diocese, Monsignor Thomas Oleha, condemned the fighting that displaced hundreds of civilians yesterday morning. Father Thomas Oleha also says he is shocked by the violence that erupted in Juba and other parts of South Sudan over the weekend. Monsignor Oleha is calling for an end to violence, saying dialogue is the best way to solve problems.
We in the church condemn the violence in the strongest terms possible. We don't need violence anymore. For more than 50 years, we have been in violence. Now it is time for us to leave violence. And we condemn the violence from whoever can cause violence to us. We condemn it by all means. And we want to work for everything that makes peace now in our country. So we certainly condemn violence in Juba. We condemn the violence in Wau. We condemn violence in Torit this morning. We condemn violence in Western Equatoria. We condemn violence in the whole of our own country. And we say, no more violence in this country. We want to work for peace and to reconcile with one another and to be in harmony with one another.
Monsignor Oleha praised UNMISS for their quick response to protect the civilians of Torit on Monday.
I want to thank very much the peacekeeping forces of the United Nations, who have been very prompt to defend our own peace this morning. And I appreciate their own action. And I want to thank them very much that what we need in this country is peace, not violence.
He calls on the government of Imotong State to negotiate peacefully with the armed youth, adding that military confrontation can only bring human misery and death.
I want to tell the government to be vigilant and to try to find out possible ways in which we can reach to those people who may be aggrieved, and to talk to them, and to talk to them in a dialogical way. And we don't want any violence from any corner of whoever may be responsible of this.
The Catholic cleric says he is deeply concerned about the lives of innocent civilians forced to flee their homes due to violence. State officials say they are in control of the situation and that civilians should not live in fear. Dorit Mayor Eddie William called on armed groups to stop harming their own people.
Today you have attacked Dorit and you kill one person from Loranya. Tomorrow his relative there will start hurting you. Next tomorrow you come and attack Dorit, you will harm someone from Kiela. And those of Kiela will start hunting you. Another day you attack a bus on the way, you kill someone from Imurok, and the people of Imurok will start hunting for you. All those areas will, at the end, you will be their enemy because you have murdered their own people. This is a time which we need people to cultivate. That's, we are in a severe hunger. Now you are stopping people not to cultivate. That means you have contributed to their suffering in the next season.
The police inspector for Torit, Sisa Oromo, confirms four people died during yesterday's fighting. He says two were from the government and two from an armed group. An unconfirmed number of people are being treated for injuries at Torit Hospital. Torit Civil Hospital authorities are not allowing journalists access to patients wounded during the attack or to speak with their relatives. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
Some residents of Gudwe State are accusing local vigilante groups of robbing, looting people and vehicles between Dabio and Ringasi Road. A known number of vehicles and motorcycles were confiscated allegedly by armed youth last week. State officials confirmed the robbery took place. As Gift Friday reports for VOA from Yambio, a local vigilante group denies it was involved in the robberies.
Last weekend, a Catholic Church vehicle was robbed along the Ezo Tombra Road by a group of armed youth. Paul Baibai was a victim of the robbery and describes what happened.
On my way from Yambio to Tombra, between Ringasi and Dabio, we got kidnapped by some young guys who call themselves men. They collect everything from us. When we get to the bush, and according to the number we got in the bush, we were about 71 in number. 9 motorbikes, which was collected from each of us, 20 bicycles.
Baibai says the armed men also took $2,000, 50 South Sudanese pounds, a motorbike, cell phones, and ATM cards from them. Another victim of the robbery, who prefers not to be named for fear of revenge attacks by the armed youth, says the gunmen took all of her belongings, including her motorbike.
They didn't beat women, but some men were tied up seriously, with some of them got wounded, and especially the driver was coming with the vehicle from Tombra, was tied up to the vehicle, and they wanted to burn him with the vehicle. Fortunately, he was not killed. He was released, and the man was taken and everything which was in the vehicle.
She says the gunman told them that state officials are to blame for all the lootings and robberies that occur along the major roads because the state does not respect their rights. She's calling on the state officials to end the suffering of innocent citizens at the hands of the armed youth.
Actually, they are torturing their own people, not only the government, thinking that they are doing that to get their right from the government.
Jackson Ezekiel, the local government and law enforcement minister for Budwe State, confirms the incidents.
It is true that incident took place. It is not the first of its kind. It has repeated itself several times. They are making movement of the common people difficult, very difficult along that road. The number of vehicles which have been attacked, which have been looted along that road, it is happening. It is actually ridiculous when you claim that you are fighting for your own people and you rob them, you kill them, you block roads. And these are the same people you claim you are fighting for them.
A vigilante group spokesman who identifies himself as Commander Paul refutes accusations that his vigilante group is responsible for the wave of lootings and robberies.
So I don't see there's a need of how we can involve ourselves in damaging our society.
Ezekiel says his ministry is preparing to deploy police forces along the areas of the road that are prone to robberies to protect the lives and property of citizens. The Yambio-Tambora Road is the main route connecting the state's headquarters to the western counties of the state and to the neighboring former western Bahr al-Ghazal state. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Yambio.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Residents of South Sudan's capital returned to the streets today as a ceasefire to end the 5 days of deadly clashes appears to be holding. But visitors to the city's central market, many looking to replenish depleted food stocks, were met by a rude sight, looted stores, and hiked prices for scarce goods. Aziz Francis says his shop was worth 200,000 South Sudanese pounds, but everything was stolen during the fighting. He blames soldiers who were assigned to protect the market. Francis says, quote, whether you're a South Sudanese or foreigner, they don't segregate. If you see the distance of the place where the fighting is occurring, it is far from our shops, but the people who are deployed here destroyed everything, end quote. Markets in Torrid have also run out of food supplies, and traders say it's not easy to transport goods because of the ongoing insecurity on the road leading to Imatong State. Residents of Torrid scrambled to buy the remaining food items on market shelves today. Few shops are open. And finally, the IGAD Council of Ministers issued a statement condemning the violence that erupted in Juba over the weekend. Addressing the 56th IGAD Council of Ministers meeting in Nairobi today, the Ethiopia Foreign Minister, Tedros Adhanom, who is also the chairperson of the IGAD Council of Ministers, expressed his disappointment at the weekend fighting in Juba. Adhanom says leaders of South Sudan are far from agreeing on the leftover issues from the August peace agreement. He says the prospect for peace in the country is bleak. Adhanom says, quote, the parties are trading accusations at each other. They are recruiting fighters and are arming themselves. There is a lack of common understanding on the number of states and on the issue of cantonment sites, end quote. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Kulium Dushman. We have been listening to Emmanuel Kembe with the song Kulium Dushman. I am John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could be here. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.